got it all?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So first order is the approval of the agenda from the last meeting. Has everyone had a chance to review that?
The agenda or the minutes?
Oh, sorry, no. Approval of the agenda, I guess, for this meeting.
Oh,
my bad.
Okay.
Yeah. So has everyone got the agenda right here?
Staff doesn't have any changes.
Okay, cool. Can I get somebody to move to approve it? Someone to second?
I'll move to approve it.
Cool, thank you.
I'll second.
Okay. And then I guess everyone else is in favor of
it. Yeah, you just need someone to motion approve it and then a second. And then
okay,
you
and
can
that's
go
it
to
if
the
there's
next
approval.
Thing.
Perfect. Okay, then the minutes from last time. Has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes from before? Cool. Does anyone have any questions or comments or corrections?
So I don't know how serious we need to take this. So I'll just put it out there. Does anybody care if there are typos or not typos, as long as like the meaning of it doesn't change?
I would say you can let us know, and then we can put in the minutes that we changed it.
Okay. Could I just like circle them and then hand them to you guys, and then you can figure it out? Would that work? Okay. I'll do that.
And as part of the motion, make the motion to approve it with changes of the typos of the minutes, if you want to do that.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, then we can approve it now.
Okay, great.
Great. So.
So I'll make that motion, and you'll second.
I'll second.
Okay, great. Move along quickly. Okay, so next is citizen participation. What?
We did not receive any emails or anything on it, so we do not have any for tonight.
Okay.
What is expected there? Just
citizens
people from
can come here and speak if they want to, and with COVID, when we're doing Zoom, they could email it in, and we've just kind of continued to do that, but no one has submitted anything.
Interesting.
Just as an example, we had someone who was protesting a tree in their front yard, despite Jacob's assessment that it was a no-risk tree.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And apparently this has been going on annually for years.
Really?
Same person. It's a pen.
Oh, with the same person?
They don't want
same tree.
Acorns. They don't want the squirrels. It's big.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. So department report. Oh, yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
For you. Uh-huh. Where do you think we might talk about it?
We could slip that maybe.
New business.
New business. Okay,
good.
Cool.
Okay, thank you.
That sounds good. Okay.
So I'll start with department report and then look there. Add to it. The main thing I want to say for department report is we added a new person. We lost a tree trimmer in April, but we've already replaced that person. They're working now. They started at the beginning of June. We have tree trimming contract still going on. It's about 40% complete. We
pruning, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
We have completed a tub grinding at Heenan Park of all woody debris, chips, logs. That was completed in June.
I have a question about that. I mean, I had to look it up on my laptop. What is a tub grinder?
Oh, so.
And I mean, I think I understand, but you can
even
add anything.
It's just a real big machine with a tub that, you know, grinds everything. So when we do any type of tree work, we use a chipper, and we turn smaller logs and brush into chips. The stuff that you can't chip, we just put over in the park as big logs. So we have a chip pile and a log pile. And we have a contractor run all that through a tub grinder.
Wow.
And they run it through twice, through a 2-inch screen, and they make double ground wood chip mulch that's available to the public, and we also use in parks, like the dog park is all double ground wood chips. So it's a way to recycle.
Cool.
Instead of just taking it to a landfill or something.
So all of that material comes really from your department.
Correct. Yeah, we don't have, none of the contractors dump there. The contractors.
Officially. Oh,
yeah.
Only none of our contractors dump there.
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
There'll be special occasions that, you know, if it's a small project, I'll work it out with a contractor. You can dump this there, but for the most part, they don't dump anything over there.
And
we do have some illegal dumping that it's hard to police. Hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. And then we went out for a stump grinding contract just to grind stumps that from trees that have been removed. That's in the process of going on right now. Throughout May and June, we did have two small storms, pretty insignificant. We only really lost two trees, and both of them were in Heeman Park. So, both hackberries, coincidentally, just due to storm damage. So, that's better than last summer so far. Hmm. We had large storms last summer.
I think a pine tree got knocked over in
Fogarty,
though.
Yeah, Fogarty, yeah. That was in the May storm. Okay, four trees.
Well, then you took out some in Reed Park.
Yeah.
Woods.
Took them out.
The trail. Well, I guess you didn't take them out
there. I mean, those were...
You cut them.
I'm not counting those. Those aren't in our inventory, so I'm not really counting those towards what trees, you know, we lost.
But you had to do the labor.
Yeah.
They were on the trail. They were leaning over the trail.
Yeah.
So I asked Jacob to do a safety assessment.
Yeah.
I noticed they disappeared.
Yeah. Yep, that was kind of fun.
Oh, good.
It was different. Change of scenery. New staff. Couple
so how's
small
the new
storms.
Staff working out?
Good. Been here just over a month, so still learning how everything goes. But he used to work in Forest Park for City of St. Louis. So So, yeah, he's able to do the work, and it's very helpful.
I'm glad it seems like there wasn't like a extensive waiting period to get qualified candidates or anything, that you were able to hire somebody.
No, we were lucky. We had a small number of candidates apply, and they were qualified.
Exactly.
You're just picking through them. So
that's awesome.
Yep.
It's probably, you know, a tribute, too, to working for University City. I mean, it's a dive star's place to work.
And maybe for you.
Yeah, you have a good reputation.
Yeah, because that hasn't been the case with all of our jobs.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
So with the trimming contract, I guess I'll talk about, it was a little bit slow in June. If you were to look at the reports and see number of trees trimmed in May versus June. So I've talked to the contractor. They need to add more people on the contract. But other than that, I think they're doing a good job.
Sure, that's slower.
Yeah, doing the report, and then I made a call right after doing the report. So what's going on? But should be taken care of. A lot of people call me. Lots of calls, inspections.
What does that mean?
So people call with, would you prune my tree? Would you remove my tree? I don't like my tree.
I think something's wrong with my tree.
Yeah. Any number of things.
My tree's angry at me.
Yeah.
I want a tree.
I want a tree. There's lots of I want a tree.
That's great.
Yep.
Can you remove a tree in my neighbor's backyard?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They range from...
Send Darren out to mediate.
Yeah. They range from things to I have to go out and, you know, do something or talk to them or an inspection report, or a lot of them I can handle on the phone. Mm-hmm. Questions about how the city works as far as forestry or what day trash collection is. That happens every once in a while. I just look at my calendar and I let them know. But that's all I have for the department report, unless anyone has any questions from me.
I caused you a trip and a couple phone calls.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
Or was it earlier this year? It might have been earlier this year.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was happy with the response.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Moving on then to Council Liaison Report.
Okay. I don't have a lot to report this week.
Okay.
We approved the budget the end of June, and then we approved the final contract with Crescent Plumbing, just east of the fire station, on in between Olive and Vernon. So we're excited about that.
Oh, I'm sorry, you approved the contract with Crescent Plumbing?
Or well, just the final project that they're so they're gonna put their business in there.
Yeah, that
put that property on the tax.
So
minutes from last
time. Yeah,
yeah.
Approved,
final approval.
Moving
yeah.
there because mm-hmm. they're in the city.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, and then we've also been having a discussion about the new police station with the Trinity Building, trying to kind of finalize the plans so that they can start with the contracting work. There's a little bit of a hiccup on figuring out how security is going to work around the police station. There's a little bit of disagreement about what level of security that we need. There will be fencing, some fencing around it, so how much fencing, how high.
I saw the discussion in next door about that.
Yeah, so if anybody has any strong opinions about that, you know, now's the time to, you know, just shoot me an email or, you know, another council member, because we're trying to collect input on that.
That was where, you said?
The police station at the and the annex building that we're renovating,
oh, okay.
that the city's going to renovate.
Okay.
Yeah. On the plaza. And so those are the main things that I have to report. Unless anyone has any questions.
Well, I wasn't here at the last meeting, and I noticed on the agendas in the minutes that there was a question from you, Don, I think, about do we have any climate change plans? And you had said you thought all of that information, if there was any, would come from Green Practices Committee?
Yeah, that's the commission that really would discuss that and make recommendations to council.
There will be some in the new comprehensive plan, probably, and I'll address that when it comes time to updating you guys. So
Okay. I'll hold off.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an important issue. So,
why did you have comments or thoughts about it?
Well, I know a friend of mine is the habitat ecosystem. There's three topics. She's the commissioner that sort of stays abreast of those issues, and then there's an energy specialty. There's another specialty, but there's not a particular climate specialty.
Within
Green Practices Commission.
Oh,
So I know we're all worried about climate change. And we're all hoping somebody else will do something about it, but
if you know of anyone who has that kind of expertise, I'm pretty sure that there are still some appointments open on that commission. So
yeah.
I think, no, I don't have one, but I believe maybe one or two other council members do. So. Just let me know and I'll tell them.
Yeah, plus those categories within Green Practices, I serve two terms on there. And so that follows their strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I think once their strategic plan gets updated, you know, that might be a new specialty, you know.
Okay.
Too. So
that sounds
it's a pretty old strategic plan, so it's probably due to be updated soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, thank you.
All right.
So next.
Oh, I had a question.
Yes.
So back to the fencing, et cetera, around the new buildings, renovated buildings, police station, et cetera. Is there a way to view any proposed drawing?
Well, that's what I think the next step is, asking them to create some renderings so we can see what it would look like with a different type of fencing.
Yeah, exactly. That would be great.
Yeah.
Good.
So then, we'll find a way to share that once we get those.
Yeah. Great.
Cool. Thank you. Next, unfinished business from last time. Is there anything?
We didn't have anything on there.
So the only thing that, you know, could be in that would be the policies that I brought forward last time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I have not had time to update those, so
okay.
They're not in this.
So we'll probably have them at the next meeting.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Any objections to anything, or you haven't really worked on it?
Oh, no. I haven't zero time to do that.
Then we might hear about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Then moving on to new business.
The community forestry plan, I'll pass. Is that some of you maybe already take a couple pass it around? It's come to our attention that technically we're supposed to develop an annual community forestry plan from a department and bring it to this commission chair and take it to city council to tell our plan. That hasn't been done for the past couple of years. Jacob and I have worked on this, putting this together. And again, this isn't the whole master plan for forestry as a comprehensive plan. We are working on doing that. This is just a snapshot at this next year, some goals, objectives, kind of give you a synopsis overview of what took place this past year in fiscal year 22. Then as we move forward, looking at action items for fiscal year 23, Jacob started this last year, started the annual pruning cycle that we had broken it down into wards. When I came on board a little over 3 years ago, and same with Jacob, probably around 3 years ago as well, that you look at old plans and they had looked at, you know, a 7-year pruning cycle. Well, when we ran the math, we were like at a 20-year pruning cycle. The things had fallen off that much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've been trying to play catch up ever since, and we're still playing catch up. And, you know, Jacob has looked at this, and we really didn't have a good count on the number of trees. You can see several documents that says, oh, we have 30,000 street trees, this and that. But actually going through the survey, doing the tree inventory that Jacob pushed really strong for, and we got grants for that, gives us a better picture of how many trees that we have, the condition of our trees, those sort of things. And through that, and Jacob, jump in anytime you want, kind of looked at, and he divided the city up into 5 different sections and tried to get on a 5-year pruning cycle to get that taken care of.
Basically what I'm doing now is I get a lot of calls, requests for work to be done, and like Darren said, there's a lot of stuff that hasn't been done for a long time, and I've realized that is due to squeaky wheel gets the grease, and there's certain people that, you know, squeak a little louder, I guess, so they would go out to their house. I was told when I got here, there's a phone, people are going to call, and you go do it. Okay. And so right now what I'm telling people is we are in area number 1 to prune. That's where our contractors are at. We're doing all the work for that area. The city staff right now is going to those legitimate when people call. They have, yes, this needs done right away. We can get to that. It's hazardous stuff that we're doing, hazardous tree removal, hazardous pruning. So that's what city staff is working on right now. And other people that, you know, do want a tree trimmed, it might be a little bit low, maybe a little bit close to their house. Either have to wait until the pruning cycle comes around, or you have the option to get a forest activity permit and pay to get the work done yourself. Most people understand, but that's kind of how I'm handling it right now.
And once we hopefully get through, you know, this 5-year cycle and get caught up, and then we won't have, as you see them in his report, the amount of inspections, phone calls and stuff that he received.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will greatly reduce as we're able to get caught up, not only on the pruning, but the hazardous tree removals, those sort of things should diminish as well as we move forward, as long as we stick to the plan that's been put in place right now. Like I said, you know, looking to do the second area this year, looking to remove hazardous trees, planting trees, like Jacob said, have in-house staff mainly concentrate on the park trees and urgent resident requests such that are hazard that he can take care of. As part of being a Tree City USA, we have to have an Arbor Day celebration on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. That was kind of put on hiatus for 2 years because of COVID.
Okay.
And then we came back this last year, and Jacob held one out there in conjunction with the Green Center, and we'll continue to have an Arbor Day celebration as we move forward. Other things we're looking to do is update our current ordinances and policies. Ours are pretty old. We've started that process when I started here 3 years ago of kind of going through it. COVID hit, slowed things down. We were trying to get this plan in place, and we're working on our overall plan, and that would go in conjunction with any proposed ordinance changes. And as at last meeting, brought some of our management policies that have been in place and some of those changes that might come forward as well. And again, our overall goal is to develop a comprehensive forestry plan. And we were unable to do that early on because we really didn't have the data to do it. Mm-hmm. With having the tree inventory data, having Jacob on board 3 years, looking at things, now we're able to move forward. He's working on that process right now.
Got a few things on your plate there.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the stuff, like working on plans and policies and stuff, it's so hard to do just 7 to 3:30, and like this time of year is difficult. But I get a lot of that done. I was doing good on the forestry plan up until May, and I'm like, oh, that went away. If I get time to, you know, work later, come in on a weekend or whatever, I do that. But it's minimal right now, and I just know that I'm looking forward to winter.
Yeah.
I'll get a lot of that stuff done.
And the ordinances, we've been working, at least I've been working on the ordinances for 3 years, reviewing it, working with the planning department, getting their input. Because part of it covers multiple departments. It covers, you know, parks, rec, forestry. It covers public works, and it covers planning. And so having different eyes look at it, give their input on it. So we've been making great progress. And then Jacob, from a technical standpoint, there are some things that he would like to add to it. So we're adding those as well. So I think we're making some good headway with that. And here probably sometime in the fall to winter, we'll present a rough draft to this group for your guys' review before we move it along.
I think these pruning areas are based on
yep.
garbage pickup?
Yep.
Okay. So, okay. And
I saw a map in front of me. It looked great. I kept trying to break it up. I'm like, that's difficult. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
How much time can I waste trying to break it up?
Yeah.
There's a map that's already on the calendar people
Excellent.
Are familiar with.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And then,
the city calendar.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah.
right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the numbers were, surprisingly very similar. You know, area one
okay.
has a little bit more trees in it, but
okay.
it's as close as you can get without saying we're going to do
oh,
know,
I see.
Half of
yeah.
Hawthorne
yeah.
Place or something.
Yeah. So we have about 10,000 trees?
It's 9,000 some change, something like that.
Okay.
But it's a constantly changing thing.
Okay, sure.
So area one seems to be the largest
yep.
tree inventory. Even though area-wide, it doesn't seem any bigger than...
And does it exclude the Heights neighborhood?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, it doesn't
private.
Include any of the private subdivisions.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that is a lot of trees.
Yeah.
That's a chunk taken out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
When they call it leafy, they're not kidding.
Interesting.
Same with Area 2 also has a decent amount of private neighborhoods.
Okay.
And then you look at Area 4 seems to be the largest looking at plants, a little bit lower, so that's kind of representation of where some trees are at, where we need some more trees.
Yeah.
And this list, I mean, the numbers are going to change all the time. So maybe every... I'd have to redo it for when we do the contracts, but I think as far as in a document, it probably wouldn't be updated for maybe every 5 years, something like that. You would update the number.
Okay.
So I'm sure there's somebody in forestry that studies this, like somewhere in this last, in the May report, you said your ratio was like, I don't know, 41 trees and 150 removed, something like that.
Yeah. It was
around 4 to 1. So not where we hope to be, but we've got an older forest.
Yep.
So are you, I mean, what are you forecasting? Putting in new trees is probably a matter of budget and personnel and
manpower.
And
100% manpower.
100% manpower.
That's what it is. And then these pruning contracts, tree trimming contracts, should help that. Tree removal contracts should help that, to where when, and you'll see in these monthly reports that the my calls inspections are going to go down into fall. Perfect time to plant. They're lower in early spring. Good time to plant. So I'm kind of using our crew as a firefighting crew.
Yeah.
We'll go get these things.
So
during those time periods, I should be able to focus them more on tree planting, and they're not going to have to worry about getting as much, because those are perfect times to get large numbers of trees pruned. Well, right now we're going to have the contractor do that.
Yeah.
So it's all just, you know, balancing what resources you have,
sure,
where you're going to use them.
But and are you expecting, like, the tree removal numbers to kind of stay the same, or are you expecting, given the age of our urban forest, you're going to have more, or it's going to be stable for a while?
Well, emerald ash borer's hitting pretty bad right now, so that'll be a spike.
Okay.
The oak will be kind of a bell curve, I guess. It's going to slowly go up and then go back down once we get to that point.
Is that with pin oaks?
Yeah. Pin oaks, because that's a good portion of our urban forest. Mm-hmm. And you'll start seeing, I mean, there's lots of general oak decline. There's lots of different oak diseases, and it's, you know, going up steadily.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be like a spike. I think it's just going to be gradual. And then once you get to that point, it'll start going back down. I don't know if I'll still be working here. I don't know how long that's going to take. You know, it could be, I think it'll be a 30, 40 years before it starts to go back down, I think.
In general for us.
Based on, you know, what previous foresters, what they planted, mm-hmm. diversity. It takes a long time to see the benefits of that.
Yeah.
In your everyday work. But yeah, that's how I think the oak and general tree removal is going to be slow curve up. And then eventually it'll level off, go down for a little bit, and then go back up. And go, like, decades I'm talking about. We won't be here probably, you know, when it goes back up the second time. Mm-hmm. But
you mean, I'm sorry, you lost me. Do you mean the cutting of them?
So, like, the number
of
removals.
Of them?
So we're losing a lot of trees. It's going up because it's not a diverse forest right now.
Gotcha.
It's mainly pin oaks that are the same age, and they're going to start dying.
Yeah.
More of them.
I understand.
Yeah, and then the ash, they're just going to die, and then we'll be done with them.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So the concern is the ratio between the number that we're removing versus the number we're planting, and it's two. We're removing way more than we're planting.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so, yeah.
And we are looking into opportunities to also use a contract when they remove a tree, replace, grind the stump, replace a tree. We're trying to figure out, and that's just another resource, the money that we have, the manpower we have. It's just how do we balance those resources.
Okay.
But, I am definitely aware of we need to up that, plant trees for the number of removed.
Oh, yeah. So if you were to do it the way you would want to be able to do it, how much staff would you need, or would you want?
12 people.
No, I mean, really. You serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, 12 people, you could do a lot. I mean, 6 would be great, but, like, 12. It's just about getting different numbers of crews for different things, because right now Well, yeah, they can remove a tree or they can plant as many trees, but my foreman says, I pull this thing out and I say, you know, I write them a list, do this, this, and this. Well, this, this, and this isn't getting done now. So if there's only, you know, so many people, they can only do so many things, and bouncing around doesn't.
And like I said, we're also trying to, I won't say balance, but the best, not a 50-50 balance, but to what Jacob's crews are able to do in-house planting, we're also trying to help that and subsidize that through contractors. Like I said, when they come out and remove trees, remove the stump, mm-hmm. they can plant a tree as well. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to hit both ends of it and do it. But
so all at the same time is the goal then for this contractor, remove the tree, grind it out, put in a tree, I guess, right next door to the where the old one was. Is that right?
I think that's an option we're looking at to see if that's the right option.
Yeah.
I know you discovered that one contractor did a better job pruning, another contractor did a better job cutting, think it was. So I guess you're going to have to also find that ideal source that can do both of those things at the same time, the grinding and the planting, well enough.
And it
also
it helps if they're the lowest bid also. Go with that. But, and then that's why you said, like, if I could have my way, you know, that's why I would have a 12-man crew, and I would hire those people for, you're good at planting trees. You're good at going up in bucket and cutting down trees. You're meticulous at pruning trees. Mm-hmm. Everybody's better at different things, but we can't do that. You know, I know that's not an option, so that's why we're using the resources that we have and trying to do the best we can.
Yeah. Well, how is it that you're able to get funds for contracting but not for staff?
Because your funds for contracting can be stretched out further than costs for staff. Because when you hire staff, you're not only paying their salary, they're paying your pension, your health care, and then you got to buy more vehicles and equipment and that kind of stuff.
I see.
And
they
with a
their own vehicles.
And with a contract, they already have that, and they can spread that cost out because we're not their only client. Mm-hmm. They have multiple, so it can be spread out more.
So, Donna, it was like a creative solution that these guys came up with maybe like 2 years ago, and then they took it to the city manager, and they really sold it.
Yeah.
And so then we got the,
you know, no, I understand, but I'm still hearing a lot of stress.
Yeah.
There is
need for more staff. And I was wondering if, when you describe this kind of shifting need, right? Because certain things are happening with the forest in greater number during certain periods of years or shorter period than you might expect long term. Could we not somehow lobby for some funds for some extra staff that would be known to be temporary, you know, it would be.
I think that's been done. I know that before me, James Crow did lobby for, he was the beginning Emerald Ash Board, mm-hmm. and there is money set aside every year for mm-hmm. ash tree removal. So that is an option. I think that has been done, and I think.
And in the past 3 years, our contractual budget about doubled.
Yeah.
So there has, the council, city manager, staff has been concentrating on pushing for this. And we've been getting a little more,
a little more each year.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking it would have been so good if right now you'd have somebody who could relieve some sliver of time on your schedule so you could concentrate on this process of planning,
which
only happens like once every 5 years, right? It's not a regular part of your job.
Yeah.
You need somebody to support you now while you're doing this, because you got to do this planning.
And,
so,
and I think that's what we are doing, and I think that's you know, council has given us more money in the budget for these contract services, and you are going to see an uptick in planting. We are going to be able to come through on that.
Yeah, and they go planting. Back a little bit, kind of going yeah. back
I
to...
I keep here planting.
Planting, yeah.
Planting. That,
that, you know, that, like sure. I said, when Jacob and I came on board a little over 3 years ago, like I said, things had been let go for a long time due to, mm-hmm. you know, the recession back in 27 to 2010.
Right, right.
Budgets were cut, manpower's yes. cut, those sort of things. So a lot of things fell to the wayside in the city. Like a lot of things, you have to say, okay, do we need police cars? Do we need this? Or do we need to do tree pruning? You know, so
yeah,
they have
a
hard decision to make on how you spend yeah. the money. And, you know, so we've been trying to play catch up, and we will for a while. But you look at things like Jacob was saying, yes, our trees are getting older. We have a lot of species of the same, like the pin oaks, those sort of things. But hopefully, as we get through and we stay on this 5-year cycle of pruning and stuff, our in-house staff is going to get less call-outs to go out and put out fires, and he's going to get less calls to do inspections and stuff. Hopefully we do. Not saying that you're still not going to get them, because there's always a need, but hopefully that'll greatly reduce, and then the time that we've been spending on that can be shifted as well towards some of these other things. And just having a plan, you know, working on this management plan and try to look out the next 5 years, 10 years, those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, we really never truly knew what we were dealing with and the number of trees mm-hmm. until the tree inventory was done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like I said, you can go back to several documents. Some of them say we had 30,000 trees. Some of them
yeah.
said we had 40,000 trees.
Mm-hmm.
Some 20,000.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And we found out that that's not really accurate numbers, nor did we. Jacob would drive around and guess the conditions and try to put, he knew the conditions, but try to put percentages to them. But now the tree inventory will tell you how many pin oaks we have, how many of this, what the conditions are. So when he sets up his yearly work schedule and we go out to bid for these contracts, he can say, this is where we need to contract for the hazard tree removals, these areas, because these are the worst. That kind of stuff, which we really didn't have that before.
Right, right.
It's just we were going out trying to put out fires all over, and that really wasn't being efficient and effective in how we were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we were going out, in-house staff was going and removing the trees, but the stumps would sit there for 3, 5, 6 months before we could
mm-hmm.
get back. Now that we have money in the budget, we have a stump grinding contract, and so when we do stuff in-house at times, we can hire that. But
mm-hmm.
now we're also adding that into our tree removal contract. They're not just removing a tree by contract. They're doing the whole thing.
Great.
So
Great.
It's reducing a lot of time and hopefully a lot of headaches from residents, because
okay.
I know if I had a tree in front of my house that was cut down and a stump set there for 6 to 9 months, I wouldn't be too happy. I'd be
mm-hmm.
calling and complaining to Jacob as
mm-hmm.
well. So we're trying to play catch up with all those items. And then hopefully as we move forward,
mm-hmm.
that will be reduced even greater over time.
Yeah, great.
Do you think there'll be any grants coming up, like through Missouri Department of Conservation, or is that not a good route because our grant money is going to Ruth Bark Woods right now? Or
no, I can write for TRIM grants. That's how I...
Exactly.
You know,
I thought you'd done that.
Yeah, that was what helped pay for the tree inventory.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yeah, that's something. And then they have a rating scale
mm-hmm.
on, you know, who gets money first.
Yeah.
And tree inventory is the highest one on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just have to look and go for the next one, you know.
Yeah.
And TRIM grants have changed over years. I remember when I first got in the field 30 years ago, it was more giving TRIM grants out to get trees.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted you to plant trees.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they were pushing all green ashes at the time because no one knew
Lord.
What was going to come down the road 20-something years later.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other places I worked at, we used the TRIM grant to get trees every year.
Yeah.
Well, now, since the Emerald Ash Borer and other things have come along, they've kind of shifted their funding. You can still get some, you can apply for it, but like Jacob said, they're putting their focus on tree inventories, management plans, taking care of the Emerald Ash Borer. Those things are the top priorities that you get the points to do.
I wanted to say, I'm going to have to leave.
Maybe that's a good intro to what we were talking about.
I'm going to have to leave in about 5 or so minutes well. Yeah, but that was the community forestry plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten to the Vision 2040 update.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Did
right.
you
okay.
want
but,
feedback on this, or how did you want to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Really, we don't need anything for you. I mean, if you have any comments or anything, that's fine. And each year as we go, we revise this and tweak the plan. But and hopefully this time next year, we'll also have the overall forestry master plan. And basically each year will be part of that master plan to a degree.
Okay, great.
I mean, it's up to you. If you guys want to take a vote to support it, that's fine. But it, you don't have to. It's going to go to council one way or the other, but it'd be great if the commission would support it.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
I'd have to read it first, so I don't know what your time frame is. I don't think, was this in our...
No, we didn't have it completed by the time that we had to send it out.
Okay.
So what would be the, did you want to take it to council in August or...
Ideally, we would like to, but if there's really not in the ordinance or anything a time frame, it just says every year. So if you guys want to take time to look at this a little more detail or whatever, we could wait and take it to a meeting in September.
Okay, but it has to happen. The support has to happen in the meeting time, or
yeah.
It can't happen digitally.
No, it has to be.
Attention, Tina Pearl guests. The time is 6:45. We'll be closed in 15 minutes. The time is 6:45. We'll be closed in 15 minutes.
But if you are going to make a motion vote on it, you need to do it before Aaron leaves because you won't have a quorum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Or if you want to do it at your next meeting, that's fine as well.
Well, Diane has spoken. She wants to read it. I don't object to that, but I don't think they have a quorum if Diane's not going to vote for it. Yes, and I kind of would like to read it too. So.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Fine.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, you know, in the future, yeah, we could do.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So you just don't have to take any action at all.
Got it. So the Vision 2040 update?
Yeah, sure. That would be me. I would say if we could put this on the agenda maybe one more time for next time, mm-hmm. that might wrap it up. The plan was presented to the council, so they accepted it, and then the next step will be for them to vote on it at their August meeting. And I can send you all, if you want, an email that has the link to take you to the portal to read it. It's a beautiful document, the draft, with lovely pictures and all that. So if you want, would you like me to do that? Okay. I'll send you out an email. It won't require any action or anything. I will just summarize to say, here's a few things. There are 6 priority areas. Climate change is one of the 6. Tree City USA was mentioned with capital letters more than once. So I'd say that brand is just really well known in New City. So even if it doesn't mean a lot in terms of what else we do to be compliant besides Arbor Day, it just seems to mean something to people that we're a Tree City USA. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would say whatever we could do to keep that going, you know, that would be great. Tree canopy, green space was mentioned several times in several of the 6 categories. For example, one of the 6, obviously in climate change, it was like to mitigate urban heat island effect, for example. But one of the other 6 areas was to keep a neighborhood feel within the city of University City, and part of that has to do with our I'm going to call them pocket parks. I mean, they're really bigger than that. But and then with the parks, the important thing is that there are trees there and it's green. So I would just say, directly or indirectly, our urban forest was just really important.
Yeah.
In that plan, very very valued.
Mm-hmm.
So. The reason why they did all this planning is that's a way to get community input so then that the planning commission will update the city plan. And last time I participated on that with Green Practices,
we mentioned all this environmental concern, and the facilitators convinced the city to leave it out of the comprehensive plan. That's what we were told anyway, because we were outraged that it wasn't in there. So we were told in no uncertain terms that it will be in there this time. And you can see that the facilitators, I mean, they go all over the world, literally, and it's important to the whole planet, and they know that, and they heard that from the community. So it's definitely in there. It's, as I said, there's six priorities, and it's one of the six.
Right.
So anyway, so it's still... You know, it's still going to take some months, but that's, I mean, it's going according to the proper process. So, anything you'd like to add? Or?
No, I think that's great. I mean, there, you know, there's more to the whole plan, but this is kind of what we're focusing on.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So, how is that plan going to feed into what different UCD departments currently do? I mean, you're in the process of putting a plan together already now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the different priorities will, be used in decision-making and planning and all of that in all the departments. So the goals and the outlines that the community has kind of put forward. And, I think it's going to unfold. We're going to kind of see how it's going to work, because I don't completely understand it myself, but I think, but I mean, I do understand that these priorities and these goals that we put out there, that will be used in policy decision making and things like that. Yeah, as a guidance.
So maybe it'll be better that you wait till winter and see what comes out of this, in case there's anything you need to incorporate.
Yeah, once it starts informing what happens in the city, then we can talk about that and say, oh, this is how, you know.
Yeah.
And it's meant to survive turnover in elected officials, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't just jerk around, depending on which elected official wants what in which term, something like that.
A consistent framework.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in equity... Equity, it was like the number one top, priority, if you're going to rank them, of the six. And so if you look at this tree inventory, and you look at where the rich people live, and where the poor people live, and the rich people have more trees than the poor people, that's an equity issue, because trees have value, property values, as well as utility rates and things like that.
Desirability of a neighborhood.
Exactly, exactly. All of that.
But we noticed that more of the people in the poor neighborhoods don't want trees.
Exactly.
They want them removed.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And so that's an education.
Right.
And an information gap. Exactly.
Segue for us.
because if you have two jobs or three jobs, who wants to rake leaves,
Right.
Or if you're elderly or, whatever. Absolutely. It was a pleasure to participate. So I will send an email with a link so you can read that draft.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great. And Donna, would you like to introduce what we worked on?
Yeah, so I haven't been here very long, but right away I started hearing, this need for staff and need for more resources and how can we do the best job we want to do without them. And so I kind of scratched my head a bit and thought, oh, well... Maybe we can reach out to our public in your city and see how we can develop support for what this department is doing so that perhaps we can also then bring in extra funds that can ride on that support.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my thought. So What would that be? Well, I had a few ideas based on things that were being tossed around here. But I said, you know, we need to start looking at that. And it was suggested that we work on those ideas in committee form. And I said, well, I'm willing. Is anybody else? And Aaron raised his hand. So was the two of us. So... So we had a meeting finally, but we've been really busy too. So we didn't get done as much as we had wanted to, but we got a start. And we, I can pass this around, and again, you don't have to read it all right now, but I'll just try to quickly summarize. And what I wanted to do was for us to discuss it so that I could send you a copy and you could add it to the agenda and so on. But we were busy and we couldn't get it together in time. So,
part of that was my fault.
No, it's my fault. My fault as very much as well. So, essentially, we kind of focused on two things.
Do we have the building the other side?
Yes.
We can, yes.
Diane mentioned that, or you may have, what's needed is education. So that's where we came first initially. You know, the tree ID project had been discussed here, that it might be nice to get some tree IDing done, perhaps in the parks. I mean, I'd like to see it beyond the parks myself. You know, a lot of people do a lot of walking of their dogs or of their kids or of each other on the streets, not necessarily in parks. And so it would be nice to have it beyond that. But I know that, you know, you have to start small and do what you can do. At any rate, so we thought we would discuss the Tree ID project. And I just made a little bit of inroads on that. I discovered, well, first of all, Aaron learned about that website.
Yeah, we were looking at your tree inventory.
Which we should publish here at least for these folks, because I don't know.
Do you all have a link
knows.
To that?
We will send something out, okay?
That sounds
but,
good.
To tree keeper.
We'll send something out. I'm just going to try to do
I'm
it quickly.
Success so far.
And you
oh,
have
okay.
to go. But it's a wonderful link where, again, using your phone or... when you're walking, wherever you are, it seems, in your city. Is that true? I'm not sure how widespread and thorough it is. But
it's complete, isn't it? Like
all publicly owned trees.
All
yeah.
publicly owned trees are there.
Oh.
And
yeah, I've got it up right here. Yeah. You can see, like, I was just looking at my park.
But, oh, great.
Yeah.
And
you click on each one and you can see, like, what type of tree it is.
Yeah,
and everything like
you
that.
Can so. Just utilizing the app, you can just hone in on wherever you happen to be at the moment, and you can find every tree. In fact, I found the tree in front of my house and others, and I planted one illegally that I have to square up with, and I keep forgetting to request that permit form, but anyway... we just thought we'd see if it would even live. And it's on there. And I said, oh, my God, it's there. They know I have it. And I don't know how that happened. Because that was just planted. It was, you know, wasn't when the inventory was done.
Had to be.
So I, no.
I mean, I didn't.
No?
He's not sneaking around at midnight.
Yeah,
no.
I didn't inventory.
No, that was just planted. So, So I thought, wow, is this a satellite-based thing, or what's happening here?
No, let's
I thought it was fascinating. Anyway, so that's a wonderful thing that we can get out there to people. I Aaron and I looked at the U-City website, and we tried to find this thing, and we couldn't. We could not, and I just felt so inadequate, but we tried and tried. We couldn't find this stuff. I remember finding on the website how you can call for to have a tree planted, and there was a list of trees that are allowed on the right-of-way, on the street, and trees that are not, and blah, blah, blah. I couldn't find that either, and I knew it was there. So we think that we need to make things a little bit easier for people, and we think that we really need to go beyond just having it on the website, and we need to inform them more directly. So the tree ID was one of the things we were starting to look at, trying to get some information. Diane had mentioned that Washington University had done this thing, and they actually have a website out there that's called Trees.
It is
now 7 o'clock, and we are closed. Trees.whistle.edu, and it's very nice. It utilizes these QR codes. And I actually walked a good part of it and tried to use it, and it works pretty nice. But they don't have that many trees identified. If you look at the website, you know, you think that there are lots and lots of them from what you see. But you have to walk a long way to find them. Anyway, so that would probably be the case with us, too, depending on what it takes labor-wise and financially to get this going. It seems, from what I've gathered so far, but it's not 100% reliable information yet, that they worked with the Missouri Botanical Garden, and they may have done a lot of this IDing. So I'd like to pursue and find out if the commission's okay with that. You know, what did it cost them to do? And really, I'd like to also pursue some other ways of doing it, because I'm not sure that everyone should have to have their phone on them to use this. And, you know, in those poor areas you're talking about, that may not be a good way of educating people on the trees. Another part...
Everyone has a phone, though.
Everybody has a phone now.
Well, okay. The other... thing we were thinking of was educating people about the trees that are in U-City, and so I reached out to Gary Schimmelfennig. I don't know if I know Diane knows him, but he's a wildlife biologist trained and is a prairie restoration expert and has done all kinds of good work in the area, in the St. Louis area, and at the Green Center. And he is a spiritual kind of guy. He's very good with groups and with kids. And I thought that he would be a good resource for knowing how to put some programs together. Because I think it would be wonderful to do something, you know, perhaps street by street. But we need to get out into the neighborhoods and make things happen. And it can all be volunteer-based. It can be organization-related. I reached out. Anyway, he finally responded. He called me back rather late, just a few days ago. But he did respond. He was happy to hear I was still out there doing things. And he said his wife is currently... out of town doing something, but when she returns, he wants to get with her and send us a list of their activities that they did together, educating kids in this fashion, and resources, a list of resources. So that's one thing. The other was I reached out to Jan Overkamp,
Overkramer.
Sorry?
So sorry.
Over Kramer.
To,
over Kramer. Kramer, thank
sure.
you.
Is there anything else that we need a quorum to accomplish?
I mean, so I, what I would do is I would do a motion to end the meeting, and this can just be kind of talked to whoever
okay.
has the time
okay.
to stay.
Okay.
Because we've done everything
that's
that we
fine.
Need to do.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree.
Okay, I'll move it, and Kathy will second.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm just trying to look
at this. My apologies for having to leave early.
Stay way beyond what you said you would. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Sure.
See ya.
So you just made a motion to Diane, Kathy.
We adjourned, but we're just going to talk now.
So I spoke with Jan just a couple days ago. She's the executive director of the Green Center, and I mentioned to her that we were contemplating doing some outreach into U City neighborhoods to do some tree education. And